Professor Matthew England, thank you for joining me on 2SER Breakfast. Now, it's no secret that the Great Barrier Reef is seriously threatened. That's something that we have been hearing time and time again. But what factors specifically have led to or culminated in this decision of UNESCO to now contemplate labelling it in danger?
Yeah, look, all of the reefs were, all the world's coral reefs are in danger from climate change, and that's because global warming or climate change will instigate a temperature change in the oceans. And we know that corals, we've known for many, many decades that corals have certain temperature thresholds, and once they're passed, those corals can't survive. And so it's very well-known science, it's very well-established science, and this move by the UN to list the Great Barrier Reef as endangered is well overdue, actually.
And aside from coral bleaching, as you've just alluded to, are there any other factors that have kind of culminated and, you know, driven this decision of the UN to now start to take action?
Yeah, look, there are threats from all sorts of, you know, the fertilisation of sugarcane fields up in Queensland has loaded the ocean with nitrates and actually led to threats to the reef as well. There's also tourism and so on. But really, global warming is emerging as the biggest existential threat to our reefs. We know that the Australian tourism sector is desperately keen for the reefs to be secure in the future. And you know, greenwashing and saying that we don't really have a problem up there is completely a head-in-the-sand approach. We've got an amazing natural resource there, one of the world's most largest reefs, pristine reefs. It's important for tourism, for biomedical research, for ecosystems as well, and for biodiversity. And the threat of climate change is real and now, and we're going to see a diminishing reef if we don't act on carbon emissions.
I want to shift our focus now to the government pushback against this decision, because that's part of the reason why this story has been quite prominent in the news cycle. Now, as we speak, Federal Environment Minister Susan Ley is in Europe lobbying a number of foreign ambassadors against the decision. We also know that the Australian government has cooperated with other nations like Saudi Arabia and Bahrain to try and delay this decision as much as possible. And of course, this comes within the broader framework of the Morrison government's kind of persistent refusal and inability to commit to climate targets, specifically net zero emissions. What kind of action should we be expecting from the government at this stage?
Yeah, look, it's actually embarrassing to see them buddying up with other nations that are against fossil fuel reductions. I mean, this is really embarrassing. Here we have a reef that is going to be extinct because of a lack of action on climate change. We're only a very small percent of the problem globally. We should be going to these international meetings pushing for emissions reductions to secure a safe climate future. I'm incredibly disappointed by the government. They employ the best climate scientists in the world in CSIRO, the Bureau of Meteorology. Those scientists in those government agencies are telling the government we need to reduce our emissions of fossil fuels to secure a safe future for our climate, amongst other things. You know, we've got to also think about sea level rise and heat waves and drought cycles and so on. But the scientists are very clear on this. The government's top scientists, the chief scientists and so on, all these people are telling the government we need emissions reductions. It's not just because we're against fossil fuels. We're against the loading up of the atmosphere with these carbon dioxide concentrations that will warm ocean temperatures, that will kill off the reef. And it's bizarre, actually, to see the government going to these international fora with their buddies being the other big emitters. You know, do the Saudi Arabians care about our reef? With all due respect to that nation, they care about ongoing emissions of fossil fuels because that's propping up their economy. And so it's a terribly disappointing situation. There's a lot of wealth actually to be made by solving this problem. Australians should not be fearful of moving to renewable, solar, and so on. A huge growth in that industry will see jobs growth. We've got an abundance of solar radiation. We've got great advances in storage technology to store that solar radiation, store that solar energy, and distribute it across the grid. This is, you know, in future generations, we'll look back on that sort of move from the Morrison government to go to those fora as catastrophic if we don't save the reef.
I'm just looking at the time. Unfortunately, we're running out of time very quickly. But just to finish off, the World Heritage Committee are expected to reach their decision on the 23rd of July. If, you know, after their assessment of the circumstances, they conclude that the Great Barrier Reef is in fact in danger, what are the consequences and implications for the future of the reef?
Yeah, I think it's a really, I really hope that's the decision that, that comes, because it is at a tipping point. We, once we make it extinct with warming, we won't go back there in a hurry. We can't regrow the reef, despite these lovely efforts people make to sort of plant a coral polyp here or there. This is just a drop in the ocean. Once we lose the reef, it's gone forever. You cannot restore it with artificial growth of reefs. So I really hope the decision comes through to list it as endangered, as threatened. And if that happens, you know, I hope the Morrison government and future Australian governments really take our emissions seriously and go lobbying on the international stage, not to stop endangered tags being put on the Great Barrier Reef, but to stop our emissions of fossil fuels, to keep coal in the ground, to keep oil in the ground, and so on, and to move to a renewable future. Yeah, thanks, Sophie.
Yeah, thank you. That's all we have time for. Thank you, Professor Matthew England.